I need some people to join me. You know who you are. Please, please. This is the time. It's 9 o'clock. This is it. Remember, we talked about first hour. 9 o'clock. There we go. We're still down one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jose, what happened?
She should be here anytime. I hope.
All right. There she is. This actually is reminiscent, not of you, Yvette, in particular, but early on in the church life, you did not want to be late early on. You would get singled out big time just by the nature of the room, right? That's sweet. I've asked the Burrs and the Reyeses just to kind of join me up here just in this kind of second week of our 10-year anniversary celebration, and there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, they have literally been around our church since the very first minute, the very first time we kind of gathered and started to get to know each other. And then secondly, throughout the 10 years, throughout the entirety of it, when I look to my right and to my left, I know there's two couples that are always serving, always just filling in things to do and find places to serve, and some more behind the scenes and some more prevalent. And so it's just, some of you may know, I say that because some of you may know how they serve, others may not. And so for those two reasons, just that'll give a tremendous perspective just on our ministry. And so just kind of we wanted to do this just for you all to enjoy just some and be edified, Lord willing, of just some sanctified memories, we'll call them, of just thinking back, and then also just hearing your perspectives, of course. And I give you a few questions ahead of time, and I have no intention of using any of those. I just wanted to get you up here and just make you comfortable. So, no, just kidding. So, I thought we'd just kind of open up, at the beginning. Just one more piece of background. So we had what I would call kind of a meet and greet at your home. I think maybe January, it's either late December 2015 or really early January 16, somewhere right there, within a week or so. December, okay. So we got December 2015, so kind of towards the end there. And we had about 12 people-ish somewhere in there. But you all...
Counting kids?
Yes, so more than 12. 12 adults. 12 adults, yes. Yeah. Yes. So you all were going to the same church at the time, but didn't know each other. Didn't know each other. So met at this little meet and greet. And instantly became close friends. So that's just an amazing part about that as well. So just thinking back to that time, so you're coming into this, you're hosting the meet and greet, and then you guys are coming into it, and you're seeing the group, assembled, and so what kind of led you to want to join up with a brand new church plant? So this is not. Our church plant was different, and it does have some advantages, everything has their strengths and weaknesses. So our church plant was not set up by a group who was meeting and then reaching out to some place, some church, some sending organization, asking for a pastor. That was not the case in our church plant. That's maybe you could call that the norm, at least up to maybe our current era. That would be more normal. And there are great kind of churches and even kind of subgroups of churches who do that kind of thing, who kind of trying to match up churches and pastors. So there's no church meeting, no group meeting together, no group worshiping together. Everyone is going to various different churches. And so the first question is then, what you kind of saw the group, saw kind of what it was going to be. What led you to want to kind of join up with a brand new work and not knowing? What's going to happen next week after that? Yeah, right? You had no idea. We didn't know who was going to want to stick around. So maybe we'll start over here with the Burrs, and then we'll
Pastor.
Move this way, yeah.
Well, I know for us, we had been part of a church for 5 years, and we were just coming out of a church that we were seeing some problems and issues with. So at that point, we started, church shopping. Started checking out different churches, really having difficulty finding something that was a good fit for our family. So what we were doing is staying at a church for a little while, and even the church that we had come out of to come to RBF, we were there probably about a year, I would say. And we, in our mindset, was like, we're gonna be here until we find a good church. And so we had found out from a mutual friend about a potential church plant here in Orlando. And so when we found out about that, we were super excited and just couldn't wait to meet Matt and be able to find out what the church was about. So I know for us, we had a lot of questions, as did a lot of people that were there. Coming out of a bad church, you want to make sure you're not getting into another one. So we had a lot of questions. I think we had two different meetings. And then at that second meeting, I know we were sold and we were ready. We were ready for the church plant. We were excited.
Gina, anything to add to that?
Yeah, it was just pretty sweet to, I think we visited down at Jupiter and Pastor Ragg was not feeling well, so John Anderson preached. And we're like, wow, if we can get somebody from this church to come up and plant a church in Orlando, this would be, what a blessing that would be. And then not even a little bit later, we found out that they were thinking about maybe planting a church out in Orlando. So we were excited because we were definitely in dry land. Seeking just a good shepherd and a good church and a good family. And so we weren't worried about the numbers. We were just more excited about a godly preacher coming out and actually sticking to scripture and, you know, and just being a good leader for the body that we were hoping that would grow eventually. And we were okay with it being small because we were hungry for the word. We weren't really seeking anything else other than that.
Sweet. Jose, Yvette. What?
Good morning, everybody. For us, what's a little bit different, we'll have to say that we will have to tell you a little bit about our church story. So we were attending a church at that time, and my wife's best friend, she lived in Jupiter, so she attended JIBC. So we were very familiar with the type of preaching, and we have the craving and the need for that type of preaching and the word presented to us in that way. So we decide to move from our church to St. Andrew's Chapel at that time. That's where we met them. And I remember my wife say, hey, just want to let you know that my friend Teresa just said that a pastor from GIBC is going to come over to Orlando, and I would like to attend. And I said, attend what? She said, well, they're going to meet in a house, and they just want to see how things will work, and there's a potential for a new church plant. And I said, in my mind, I shared this with Jimmy before, I said, I'll go, but I will not move out of St. Andrews. So the other part that I shared with Jimmy is that after that first meeting that we're driving home, I said, yeah, I'm moving as soon as that. So it's just the Lord has been very, very kind to our family and able to provide Pastor Matt and the of course, the Burrs, which are like brothers. And it's been a bless. It was a bless for us, and I'm not for sure that it will be a bless for all of you guys, but that's how we ended up, and we knew immediately, you know, the same way that when we went to Jupiter, we knew that was the type of preaching that we were craving. The minute we got with Pastor Meyer, we knew that that's what he was planning on bringing to Orlando. And there's another story, funny story, that we'll tell you after.
After that, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ditto to everything my husband said. It was a really sweet meeting. We did have, you know, the knowledge of Grace Emmanuel Bible Church in the seminary, so we knew the type of preaching that was going to be offered, and we knew that that's exactly what our hearts needed. And so, so we were just excited. I don't think there was ever a time of like, we need to make a decision. It was just, this is what we're doing. So it was very sweet. Super grateful for Pastor Matt, your family coming here, relocating here, and building this church. And so very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, it's been neat just looking back on some of the memories and just hearing that. I mean, that's the Lord initially, you know, joining people together. You know, that's the only explanation for that, right? You couldn't look and see anything, you know, other than a great group of people, of course. A small group of people would fit around your dining room table. You know, that's what we had. And so that's what you can see. But then just the faith, you know, component. Okay, hey, I'm going to put my convictions ahead of some other things. And so let's that's the initial kind of thought. Let's move to, you know, year in, 2 years in, 2.5 years in. You know, there's always normal church life, ups and downs on folks and people move, people come in, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, overall, if you look at a graph or something, you know, overall, there wasn't a heavy increase in the church body and adults. Not heavy, not substantial. There definitely was one, but just nothing substantial. So you're looking out, you know, two and a half, three years in. You know, Lord has added some folks, but you know, we're similar. We're in a similar stage, right? So kind of maybe just give some more mindsets there. Okay, what led, you know, the first question is, what led you to kind of decide you want to join up? Well, there's excitement, there's like, oh, there's potential, right? And then now you have, okay, a little more understanding of of a few years in, and still, you know, you can see what you see, but you still have to have faith and have to have certain convictions. So what was going through your minds there? We'll start with you guys for this one.
I'll take that because that's exactly what I was going to share after.
Oh, perfect.
So it wasn't even a year within the church being established. And me and Jimmy, we used to, we still do meet very regular. So I can't remember one month because it wasn't a year yet. But me and Jimmy were having a conversation. And he's like, so how you feel about the church? And we're, well, you know, the preaching is great. And you know, our human nature came in and said, you know what do you think? Pastor Matt is going to leave. Our attendance is kind of small. There seems to be more kids than adults. So, you know, we definitely have to rely on the Lord for that. And to the point that I can't remember exactly how we did, but we did approach Pastor Matt on not that we want you out, but are you considering moving? And you know, those might not be the exact words, but he was around those, and I do remember his answer, and his answer was like, hey, Jose, you don't have to worry about it. Even if I had to preach to one person, to my family only, to yours and Jim's, and it's all good, I'm going to stay. So it shows the endurance that Pastor Matt has through the whole entire time. It was not easy. I'm not the pastor. It was hard for me to, you know, look at the audience, and he was 15 kids and 4 adults. Yeah, but no, he was faithful. The Lord was very kind to our church, and I was sharing this yesterday with my wife, and she said, "Hey, can I jump a little bit ahead or no?"
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Your time.
So she said, so what is something that you, I don't remember exactly the question, but is something that you remember?
Favorite memory, yeah.
Favorite memories. Yeah. And I said, Yvette, I have so many that I will need more than a day to, you know, to talk about them. But I said, but general, it's very rewarding and encouraging in Christ, sitting on the back, look at the service and see how much we have grown. And the faithfulness that Pastor Matt being able to conduct, and you know, also the endurance that he had in Christ through these hard moments. So for me, and I know for all of us here, it's very rewarding to see the kindness of the Lord toward our church. So.
Yes, I would just definitely say that we were growing and we were maturing. And there was love. So what more do you need to take into consideration with staying? There was never any doubt that we would not stay at the church because of the size, because we knew that it was the Lord's church and he was going to grow it in his time. But there was definitely, my husband and I were growing in the Lord, in the knowledge of his word. And there was love. We were small, but we really, really loved one another. And so it was just a great example of what the Bible says, right? In John 13, that we will be known as the disciples based on the love that we have for one another. So yes, there was never any doubt that we wouldn't stay.
Guys, so,
I think the first sign that we had about the size of the church or the church growing, it was we had one Bible study in our home, which is not a big home, and I was like, man, I keep my AC very low, but it's hot. So sure enough, it was a lot of people at the Regis home that day. I said to my wife, wow, we definitely have more than what we used to. So it was very nice to see that day.
Yeah, we're going to, we'll, in between services and after, there'll be slides showing, so on all the TVs around. And so, unfortunately, we didn't have, so we just have these Q&As, these quarterly Q&As. Yeah. That might have been what you're referring to, because the last one we had, we realized, okay, we kind of can't do this in a house anymore. So if you can't see everybody who's there, it's not going to be helpful for a Q&A. So, yeah. Yeah, no, that was a key time, sure. I think Jose's done now. See you guys.
Are you done? Sure. So I'd just like to, just pretty much say this, the exact same things. And I was thinking of this question and just thinking that Matt, he was never worried about numbers. And I was thinking the same thing that Jose was saying. I remember him saying the same thing. If it's just to your families that I'm preaching to you, then I'm content with that. And that's what I was looking for, faithfulness in Pastor Matt. Like I said, coming out of a bad church, we've seen some things, and never seen those qualities and those bad qualities in Matt. Just seen faithfulness and the love for the body, and that was just continuing. So for me, I would never cared about the numbers. I cared about the faithfulness and the teaching that was being brought to us, which was very edifying to my family and I, especially coming out of what we came out of. It was a great blessing for us.
So. Yeah, and I also think, like, in the beginning, we just really got to know each other. There was such intimacy within our group. And even though we weren't growing in numbers, we were definitely growing in the way we were learning about the Lord and the preaching and the teaching. And we got to know our pastor and his wife and his children very well. I think it was just a breath of fresh air, especially if you guys know Tiffany. She's just got this breath of fresh air personality that really just brightens up the room, and it's just the way her and Matt are completely different. So they just work so well together.
Air.
He's a different kind of breath of fresh air.
That's fair.
She's like the ocean breeze and he's like the mountain tops, you know?
I don't know what that
just
means.
Kidding.
But
yeah, me neither.
Okay, fair enough.
Trying to make a contrast.
Yes, whatever.
But anyways, still make it good.
Yeah. But both of them fresh.
Anyway, so, and just like, even like with Jose and Yvette, I remember the first time they came to our house, we knew instantly that they were going to be our best friends, because Jose, right away, you know, this military man that is strong and trying to make a point when he walked in, knocks over a bowl of Bailey's water. And it's all over the place, and right away you just see his demeanor drop, like, you know, and we're just like, and then Yvette's, oh, Jose, it's okay. We just fell in love with them. I mean, honestly, like, and like I said, like, even though our numbers didn't grow quickly, we were just family. We knew everything about each other. We did everything together. It was just really just a blessing, and just to see even our kids grow up together. And you know, I remember one time at our house, Yvette had asked for prayer for their son, Ivan. And right away, everybody bowed their heads, started praying, and we were all crying. Like, I was like, wow, what is going on here? But we just couldn't stop ourselves. We just really loved them so much, and we knew their heart for their child and how they wanted him to be saved. And I just remember that day, and it was just like, wow, we all really do like have the same heart. We all want to see our children become mm-hmm. believers. We all want to hear the word preached. We all just want to see, you know, God's kingdom grow. Mm-hmm. And just looking out right now, I mean, everybody's not here, but I was like, wow, okay, this is, maybe we filled up the first two seats. Yeah. So it is, I mean, it was definitely, honestly, it wasn't a question of staying or not staying. It was a question of just what the Lord was going to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's that faith element, of course. But one thing particularly for you, you're in that season raising an 11, 12, 13, you know, on a 13-year-old, you know, so preteen, what we call preteen, and then teenager. And, you know, that's a factor in this. So that's not easy for parents. That's not easy for your daughter, you know, in that time, especially, you know, early on. Hey, okay, we'll see who comes. And, well, okay, we're not, you know, that she's there. And we got found a picture, and Jenna was mentioning it this week, I think, or last week. You know, just, you know, they would, our kids would come, and they just make all these, like, funny videos together. That was Jenna's ministry to our kids. That's what they did. And still have, there's loads of filled up iPads of these little silly video. That's the fellowship that she had. So how, just maybe just come from that angle of it. How would you, as parents, how are you thinking through that? And, you know, this is expected. In our day, it's, you know, youth groups are expected, which there's nothing wrong with youth groups. We're certainly for youth groups, and we're for those types of things when the Bible is preached. And there's been, you know, we'll as we transition on in our church years, there's been amazing teaching into that. But early on, it's, you're mentioning like becoming close as a body. Well, everything was church wide.
Yeah.
You know, every single thing we did was church wide. The church is divided. The church, you know, there's no separate things there. So.
I think with Jenna, what a blessing it was as well, is we came out of, like Jimmy said, a very harsh church, and we came out at the perfect time that she wasn't tainted too much by that, because I look back at all the young teenage kids that did go to that church, out of like maybe 20 girls that I taught, maybe one or two still follow the Lord. Because that church was so legalistic that a lot of them did not believe that they could ever have earn salvation. They didn't think that God's grace would be poured out to them. So I believe that God took us out at a perfect time where Jenna did not have to be tainted by that ugliness, and then brought into Redeemer, which, yes, was small, but what a blessing God brought. A pastor and his wife with four little girls, that Jenna has always wanted little sisters, and she got four. Lala girls, we call them the Lala girls, because they all start with the letter L, if you don't know that. So she just right away dove into that. And yeah, sometimes I think she felt a little lonely that she didn't have anybody her age group, because years went by and there was nobody her age group. So she was the only teen, and then, you know, we ended up going to Abide for the first time, and she was the only one from our church, so we had 100%, you know, attendance. but she was there year after year, and now she's a counselor, so what a blessing that is. So, I mean, I think there was some sad moments and some hard times that, you know, she just wished she had other people her age group, but I think the Lord protected her in so many different ways that, looking back, I'm like, thank you, God, you know, for that blessing. And, you know, she ended up getting saved at her first year at Abide at the age of 12, which was like only God, right? So we're just like, okay, thank you, Lord, for that. Because when I look back at the old church and them not even thinking they could ever get salvation because they thought they had to earn it, just what a blessing that is for my child. And I thank the Lord for that every day.
And I'd just like to add to that, like, even though she had a desire to have somebody her age or maybe even older, because she was always used to hanging out with like older, you know, people her, she was always used to being around people that are maybe like 2 to 3 years older than her usually. So even though she had that desire to, you know, have somebody around her age, she never desired to go to another church. Like, that never came across her mind or ever said anything like that to us. But also, as a parent, we're not going to let our we wouldn't have let our child even try to dictate where we went to church. You know, so many parents, I think that they fall into the trap of trying to make their kids happy by bringing them to a church where there's lots of children their age. Can be very dangerous because it's very difficult to find a good church. Like I said, we were in a church waiting for a good church plant to take place because we couldn't find a good fit for our family. So, like I said, even though there wasn't anyone her age, she never had a desire to go elsewhere, and we were sure we weren't going to.
And also Pastor Matt was very gracious to allow her to work with Jimmy in the sound booth and to be a part of worship at a very young age. Mm-hmm. So she was definitely felt like that was her family as well.
I just want to add too, like with Jenna, you know, the Lord in his time though brought really good friendships. As the church grew, maybe not in those early years, but then as the church grew, he brought really good friendships in Jenna's life, which was so sweet to see for those of us that knew she didn't have that early on. But then he's just so gracious in that.
Wow, wow, that's sweet. Yeah, I think one of the factors early on too was it's different now and has been for a while. We had a lot of one-time visitors, a lot. Yeah. That was consistent. And you know, if you look at our visitors for the year, like who's remaining at the end of the year, is it's a very small percentage of that. And some, the reason I bring that up now is some had kids in those ages, and so they're looking around. And I'm not saying that wrong. They have to make decisions, like you said, Jim. You got to make a decision that's best for your family, who your family is at that time, what you think is best. That's what it's parents just. Job is to make the right decision for that. So I'm not saying our church was the right decision for everybody, but they looked around and said, this is not the right decision. So we had a lot, especially in that kind of dynamic, in that kind of demographic, a lot of one-time visitors. I remember we had one family over for lunch because our house was minutes away from where we met, and one visiting family. And I remember 5 minutes in, I'm talking to the dad, some theological thing came up or something, and I'm thinking in my mind, I am never going to see this family again. Like, our doctrinal convictions are night and day different. We had a nice time, nothing crazy at lunch or anything, but just, you know, that was kind of the tenor. Even people kind of, you would come in like, hey, you know, did you check out our doctrinal statement before you came in? You know, interesting. Like we're not really close. So just that always sticks out to me too. Like somebody who's even willing to come, they had a bunch of kids, and but you know, just as I thought, I'd never heard from them again. But that, you know, there's those things. So if folks didn't kind of stay and stick it out and really stand on convictions, well, a church won't actually grow in any capacity. You know, spiritually or otherwise. So I thought we'd transition maybe just some favorite moments. I'll just leave it that general. So, you know, if it could be a few, you know, whatever, you know, if you had a list, go for it. And, you know, we've got time to share. And these are the kind of things that I think are fun for people. So it can be, you know, funny, serious, whatever, you know, all general. Whatever you want.
So my husband touched on it a little bit. It's a favorite memory and something that we miss, right, from the early church, which was being able to do the fifth Sunday Q&A at our house. And, you know, our home is a very humble home, but we packed in our entire church, which was amazing. So something that definitely a memory of our early church and something that I miss, but at the same time, just super grateful that, you know, the Lord has grown his church in his time. And so to see all of you and to see how the church is packed on Sundays.
There you go.
Just to see the growth and to see how the church is packed on Sundays is just such a blessing. But those early Q&A Sundays at our house is definitely a favorite memory.
And I would like to add something to it, and I'm not trying to be biased because he was at our home, but I'll look back, and I think that was a point on transition in our church. Mm-hmm. I do remember having a few new families there. Rick Bell's family was one of them, and that was the point from I start seeing some of the families staying at the church. So it was sweet to still see some of the families that attend still come in here and be members, and it's a blessing.
Favorite
memory highlights? When we were at our Red Rhino building, there was a pizzeria next door.
That's early, yes.
We would say, let's go to lunch. And the whole church would fit into this little pizzeria.
And we could walk. We could walk.
Yeah, we walked. It just was like literally like right next door. And we would walk over and their faces would be like, oh, here they come again. So, and it was just sweet, just that. And I think I think me and Jimmy were talking about this. It's just, we saw so many people... since the church was so intimate, so many people get saved, get married. I think of so many people that got married and, you know, got taken away to either Jacksonville or Jupiter. And so, you know, because we were small, so they would come, and the little amount of people that we had that were marriageable, they would take them from us. So that's another way our church wasn't growing.
We've evened that out.
Yes.
I think we got on the plus side, thankfully. Early on, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was early on. And so our baptisms would happen in Matt and Tiffany's pool in their backyard. And so people would when they got baptized, they would invite, like, their family members. And so all their family members would come, and they would all get packed into Matt and Tiffany's house, and then we would have them in the pool getting baptized. So I remember one of the times, wasn't it, like, really cold? it was super duper cold. I felt bad for, I don't even remember who it was that got baptized at that moment, but it was just so funny because we're all standing there shivering and he's trying to give his testimony, and we're just all like, oh my goodness, can you imagine like doing this again next year or the year after? But there's just so many good memories, different weddings, different, you know, just get togethers. We used to, you know, just always get together and do stuff. I think like beach days. There's just so many great memories.
All right, now that Gina took them all.
You got to coordinate.
Whatever.
No. One of my great memories is as our early morning men's group that we had. There was just a few of us, and we used to meet at a restaurant. So we used to meet at, IHOP, right?
Yes.
So we had a little small back room.
We were really health conscious. Yeah. We were all health conscious.
Yeah, sure, yes.
So,
we'd meet up, we'd have breakfast, and then we'd gather together for prayer and Bible study. And those are great, memorable times. In addition, I was going to mention some of the same things like the question and answer. That was a great time that we had at the Reyes' house. In addition to the story that they kind of mentioned about Jose kicking over the water at our house, him and Yvette showed up at our house about 45 minutes early. So I think Jose got the time wrong, is what he tells me now.
I think what happened is I used to work on that side at UCF, so... got off a little early. We went to eat something, and then we head that way. So that's why we got there so early. But so,
it was God's grace. We were just really blessed to have them early.
This was our first meeting together to meet Pastor Matt, and we're trying to get the house ready. And then somebody knocks on the door, and we're like, somebody's already here. So here comes Jose and Yvette into the house. And I'm telling you, within like 2 minutes, this guy knocks over the water, Bailey's water. It's like full. He knocks it over on the floor, and he feels so bad.
Let them know, Jimmy, that is the dog's water, the dog's bowl.
So the floor is drenched, and we're trying to clean up this mess after just saying hello to him. And he's all worried about it, and I'm like, it's just water. It's not going to hurt anything. So I cleaned up the water, and like instantly we just bonded. I think that was like a good breaking of the ice that just formed a good relationship just from the very beginning. And so
advice, if you want to have a good friend, just go to their house and knock their bowl of water for the dog.
And do it in the window where you show up 45 minutes early.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So just yeah.
Those who clean together stay together.
That's right.
Yeah, no, that's sweet. Let's I didn't really give any time parameters, so those are maybe the first couple years in there. Maybe, and you'll see these. We may even have some time to start it before 10. We'll see, but you'll see some of the slides in the different places. You know, right? We kind of you know, pinpoint things based on the season of where we're meeting and things like that. So we moved to a larger church kind of building where we met on Sunday. We're leasing it just for Sundays, really. And so there's a lot of sweet things that were able to happen there that we didn't have the capability before. So any particular things from that era in that season, anything come to mind? Yeah. Yeah.
You mean besides the assigned seats that you couldn't sit in?
Those weren't ours. Okay. Yeah, we happened to move there right during COVID. So, yeah. Yes.
Well, COVID was definitely interesting because we were so small that we were able to meet. So we didn't have to, you know, how they were trying to get people because it was too big. So that also in itself was like, what about, so we were like, hey, we're under the limit. So we were still able to meet together. And it's just really funny that just the way the Lord kind of like did that as well, because it was right after COVID that we started growing. And then we had to end up moving to that other building. So this is probably number 7 building, 7 move. I think I counted it the other day. So it's just been just a blessing too, just to see how nobody's been affected by that. It's just, okay, well, this is a church that we want to be at. This is where we're going to go. And we kept moving a little bit further from our house and a little bit further from our house and a little bit further. And we're like, okay, well, you know what? We're going to drive no matter where it is. So even just like just the sweetness. So I, you guys know me. I'm the greeter at the door. I've been the greeter at the door since the church doors have opened. And even in the early on days, you can tell what people came in and they would look around and be like, and then we have to take their kids to the annex shed. And they were like, okay, what's going to happen? Why are our kids in a totally completely different building and it looks like it just got put up like yesterday? Those were growing pains, yes. But definitely sweet, because you would see somebody's face if they were going to stay as soon as they walked in or if they were going to run for the hills. And it's just been a blessing to see how the church has grown one by one by one. Mm. And just getting to know each and every one of you as well has been, I mean, you guys are all our family. So it's just so sweet just to see how God's done that. But definitely that building alone was during the COVID season. So yes, there was chairs that were, you couldn't sit in because they had you, like every other row was blocked because of the 6 feet apart type of thing. So it's definitely interesting how we had to like maneuver around that as well and try to figure that all out and try to hide some of the, it was a 7-day Adventist, so we'd have to hide some of their paintings and stuff with our banners.
They were beautiful, just
yes,
not really
they were
biblical.
Just not biblical, yeah. So. So it was just interesting how just even with that, we'd have to come in early and have like this machine to clean the air because it was an older church. I mean, there was just so much that went into it, but it worked, right? We did it.
Yeah.
And I think that it was so amazing to see all the brothers and sisters coming together to set up every building that we transitioned into. If we're going back to the kids and annex. Mm-hmm. I do remember that you probably will see something, a picture on it, but it's hard to describe, but the AC has to be turned on about 45 minutes prior. We had to put some tarp covering the chemicals, the paint. Of course, the higher ones, I had to go get past my, I can't reach there, so you might have to come. But no, it was very, very sweet to see everybody putting their effort, their service to serve Christ, serve the church. And I'll have to say, even with all our transitions from one building to another, we have seen the kindness and the mercy of the Lord over our church. So that's something that it's very easy for us to see, because of course we were the few first families there, but it's very rewarding to see how the Lord has worked with all of us, empower us to continue living a life worthy on His side. So, and it don't matter if we had to be there an hour earlier, 2 hours, it was gonna get done. So that's something that is we have to be very grateful of that.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah, and just the that he always provided a place, right? So whenever we needed to move, we always found a place. And so I think just the Lord's faithfulness again when with his church. And so there's been a lot of places, but we're grateful for each and every one of them that the Lord opened the doors for us to be able to meet in those places and continue his church.
I just think about the massive footprint increase that we got from that building. I mean, that was a big building coming from Red Rhino to that was massive. So that was huge. I think about the soundboard going from the modest soundboard that we had to the soundboard that we had at Crest was a challenge to try to learn, and being the early sound guy, that wasn't something that I had ever done in a church setting before. I've done maybe on my personal setting a little bit, but just going from a smaller, more modest soundboard to a huge digital soundboard over at Crest was a big challenge. And
Jim's being very gracious. He got fired when we moved.
like, thank you, George.
instantly. Just, Jim, you're out.
Yeah.
You don't even know how to turn this thing on. You're out. Thanks for your service for the years, but you're done.
No, I did Crest for quite a while before.
That's right.
A lot. Yeah. I was very thankful when George took that over.
And also just want to mention, like, you know, our church went through a lot of just losses as well, you know, hardship losses, you know, with it being so small, you get close to people and people move away or something happens or people decide they don't want to follow the Lord no more. And, you know, they go off. And I just remember just, you know, and just even just different pains within our own family and just how everybody just comes together just with the prayers and, you know, bringing the meals and just the love. And we knew, no, we didn't just know each other. We knew each other's families. Like, so that was just, you know, we knew like each other's moms and dads and sisters, and we just knew each other. And so when something would happen within a family, even now, it's just so beautiful just how the church comes together, and you can feel the prayer and the love, and just how people are always trying to figure out a way to minister to one another. It's just been so sweet. Yeah, it's just very sacrificial in different ways that really hit home.
Yeah, I think a big difference when we did move to that facility was we could congregate and have some things more on site. You know, Jim kind of mentioned it, but we had some kind of, they had a courtyard, and we had some courtyard thing that we tried it before. Even we had some things before out there, depending on the time of year, and then even after, I think we did some things out there. You know, we actually had it's amazing what a church lobby is, how significant that is. So we actually had that for the first time there. It's just an interesting dynamic if you haven't experienced it. When you do walk in a door and you're in the place of meeting. So like, you know, like Chyna, like you have to make a decision quick. That's why Chyna could read the faces like, hey, where's the church? Is this the church? This is what we're doing here? So right here. So like you don't have any time. There's no transition time. Like to get in, you're in. You're in. You're from the parking lot.
No,
you're
running
in.
Away.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. You couldn't be in a hurry to get out of there. You couldn't get in a hurry anywhere either. All the rows. What is there? One or two rows. There was two entrances, two exits, and they were always covered with people fellowshipping. So you weren't getting anywhere in a hurry.
Yeah. We made sure there's plenty of exits for fire code, but
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was minimum. It was minimal. Yes. No, that's good. You kind of have already. Any other memories that you wanted to? Sorry, didn't want. I don't want to move on from that, but happy to. We got time.
Yeah. So I just wanted to just say, so Pastor Matt, when you came with your girls, Libby was just a tiny little baby, and they were all so small. But Jaden was our first baby that was born within, you know, our congregation, and we used to fight over her. Like, we wanted to hold her. There was a few of us that were just eyeing and wanting to hold her.
It was
me and Charity. And just to see, like, how many babies and kids we have now, that we have so many, too many to be able to love on all in one Sunday. But just what a blessing at just how many sweet little babies we have now. And then, you know, just with our children's ministry as well, just all of our kids at the beginning were in one classroom. Just maybe two, three, four families that had children that were in one classroom to now we have five classrooms during our main service. And the age range, you know, has grown so much. And I have over 50 volunteers that serve with the kids' classes on Sundays on like a 4 to 5 week rotation. And just to see that that growth is just so amazing, but also the heart of service, right? These volunteers and teachers are serving, you know, one Sunday out of every 4 to 5 weeks, but what a blessing it is to the parents and the families that they're able to enjoy service uninterrupted, worship together, you know, with their spouse, knowing that their kids are being taken care of. And that's because of so many of you and your heart of service to our church and our congregation and our kids. And just what a privilege it is as well to be able to teach them on Sunday and to teach them of you know, the Lord's love and kindness. And so just wanted to just kind of put that little plug there of just how important it is for all of those volunteers that serve on Sunday. You have no idea how much I just appreciate and love you and thank you just from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, wow. I think we shared this at the other building, one of our meetings that we had for children's. But, you know, Yvette asked to be kind of head that up when it was, I don't know, 5 to 7 kids, and Jaden certainly was the first homegrown baby. But we also had Kylie Hickson who came, and she was in a carrier, I think, at the time. So we definitely had some other kids, her and Chloe, and with the Hicksons. So, but it was, you know, it was under 10 kids, you know, total. That's when you stepped into service there. So obviously, it's a little different now. And every year I ask you, are you sure you want to do this still? And I can't pry it away from her. So she's still in. But it, I mean, I just back. You know, imagine just you're, even if you, let's pretend you're doing some coffee or something like that. You know, what you're doing, maybe one pot or something. You know, one little home pot that you have at your house, and that's what you're doing. So Matt, and think about that to even today. That there's a, you know, correlation to what that would look like. But that's when Yvette stepped into it, the children's kind of role in coordinating all that. And so there was no planning center, there was no scheduling. It was just probably a text message. Yeah. And Yvette was probably doing it a lot. Tiffany did it, Stephen Allison did it, John Shawnee did it. You know, there's others who went in there and did those things. And you know, just very interesting just to think about the difference in that. No doubt about it in there. That's good. That's very helpful. Anything else on just particular memories or?
I just want to say something. I want the church to be aware of this. When Pastor Matt decided to move to Orlando, it was a sweet story about Pastor Matt. It's just he was a pastor for a church, but he was also a full-time with Red Rhino. So I don't know how many of you guys are aware of that, but so he was working double. And just want to say thank you, Pastor Matt, on behalf of the whole church. We have seen how much you pour into and devote to Chipper, the flock, and we really value you and value your family, and we want to say thank you. And you know, it hasn't been unnoticed, so thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No, it's been a sweet privilege. Of course. Yeah.
Tim and I were talking about, it was yesterday, we were talking about just how involved you were in everything, including our move out of our old house into our new house. Yeah. You were involved in everything, whether it was moving us or another family, you were involved in everything that was going on in the church. Not that you're not involved now, but we just think about what a great blessing you were. And one of our good memories was the time that we had our house. Tina was mentioning how we looked like a bunch of
hillbillies sitting on our couch
sitting
in
our
front
couch
lawn,
outside after we were all
after the move, exhausted and just enjoying our couch out in the garbage.
That is so funny. I was this close to putting that in the slideshow. I found that picture.
You were
feeding Jaden outside in your front yard on a couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were
by the street, it looked amazing.
So the couch did not fit, so we decided to leave it behind. And then the truck was still there, and everybody was still there, so we just sat on the couch and had fellowship outside of our house.
By the street.
On the curbside, yeah.
Yep.
I can just imagine what the neighbors were thinking. But
yep. Finally got these people out of here. That's what they're thinking.
That's exactly what they probably were thinking.
Well, like you said, we did everything as whatever was happening. It was a church.
Yeah.
That's what it was there. So that's good. You know, it's wonderful. And you know, Jose, what you brought up actually, the two hardest things for a church plant are finding location, and then paying a pastor to get to a spot where we pour all time and effort into the body. Well, I think God knew that my faith was pretty weak in that way, so he provided those things, with the bivocational aspect and then the building right away. So we didn't have to think about those things for a while, a long time. So I would look at that and actually say a lot of it's easier than other people that I've seen, certainly, that go through some of those things. So
just thinking about what a blessing Red Rhino was to us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, they were a great blessing for us, giving us that building so we can meet in.
We were rent-free, and I think you mentioned the one thing, going back to the COVID times, where we realized really what we had. We had full jurisdiction over really what we're doing because of our size, and then the building structure. And that's, you mentioned, Sheena, folks who are still in our church today came at that time because their church had to stop meeting.
That's right.
And that was indefinite for some because of their location. Maybe it was a school or something else, and they had restrictions on meeting at all. And here we are. What we might think is a great challenge, and sure, it had challenges. Didn't have a lot of things.
Became a blessing to others.
It all of a sudden, well, now we're open, and then I'll mention in the, I'll give a little history in the second hour as well. But all of a sudden, we've got to do two services. Now it doesn't, that's not large numbers. It's just for the size of the space. We wanted to keep the minimum fire requirements exit thing, so we couldn't put where he couldn't move in there. So interesting, that's how that took place, in that time. And then what do you have? Not only the not meeting, the folks, the churches that were unable to meet, but then what comes in? Obviously the enemy brings in all sorts of worldly doctrines. Mm-hmm. The woke stuff and all that, and so churches were vulnerable, and so then that started coming out in other places, and people's eyes were open. Wow, we weren't. This is not what the gathering needs to be about. These types of things. This is not from God's word. This is not edifying to God's people. This is not the church's purpose. And none of this stuff. And so then that as well. So interesting, just the timing. Of all some of that, those things. So you kind of already mentioned it a little bit, so if you want to summarize what you already said, perfectly fine. But just I wanted to maybe hear from you for just what, maybe the more general thing, but you can go specific if you like. Just what do you love, just thinking back, just some characteristics of the church. Again, you've already mentioned some things in the early days, and then what is encouraging today, and again, you've already mentioned some of those as well, but maybe if anything else comes to your mind, or you want to summarize kind of what you said, so those two things. So what do you miss just about the early seasons, and then what is encouraging to you in this season?
I think that Gina touched a little bit on this before, but she mentioned and my wife did as well, the church was small, so we were able to engage more in a deep personal relationship. That is actually true. I agree to that. And on top of that, I had to say that even though that is not as used to be now, she said it, something happened with one of the church members, and we're there, we'll provide meals, we'll care for the spiritual being, and we provide the same things might not be as close as we might think, but we still do it. And it's very rewarding to see that process that carry over years and still the same. We care for each other. And I had to share this with our son. We when he was transitioned from high school, out of high school to college, and you know, figure out what to do with his life. And he was in a very dark place, and he got himself through the grace of God out of that. And we're grateful for the whole entire church. And I was having a conversation with him. By the way, he's not a believer. If you want to pray for him, his name is Ivan. But he will not shut you down if you share the gospel with him. He will listen to you for hours. But with that said, so he got him, you know, out of that area situation. And the other day I was having a conversation with him, and he goes like, "Hey, Dad, you know, I remember when I was like that. What you did?" I said, "Well, we," and he said, "We," and he asked me, "That's plural. So more than you and Yvette." I said, "Well, it was me, Yvette, Pastor Matthew, Fenicina, the whole church was praying for you, Ivan." So we're very grateful for all the encouragement that you have given him. And also, the Lord humbled me on that situation too, because I approached Pastor Matt. I say, "Pastor Matt, I'm getting to a point that I'm anxious. I'm not happy with Ivan not coming to Christ." And he said, "Jose, when you got baptized, when you came to Christ?" "Well, I was 36 years old." "How old is Ivan?" "He's 20, going on 21. "Okay, you got to be patient. You got to be patient." So we're still patient, and we're constantly praying for him. But yeah,
that's great.
It's a very emotional topic for me. I'm not going to share any more about our son, but I wanted to share about going back to the children's ministry and just how it has grown, and you know how many volunteers and servants we have in that ministry. And it just goes along with the theme that we've been talking about all day, that the Lord has been faithful in providing for our church, if it's locations or families. He's always been so faithful. And on a quarterly rotation or a quarterly basis, I probably lose about 4 to 5 volunteers off of the children's ministry schedule, just because of different seasons in life that families are going through. So it's normal and natural. But the Lord always provides more helpers and more volunteers. Sometimes it's those individuals that are coming off the schedule that in the next couple of quarters are coming back on the schedule. And it's just, it's been such a blessing and such a great rotation to where we can continue to run our classes. You know, we've never had to say, "Well, we have to, you know, combine our classes now," or maybe take away an age group that we can't serve anymore because we don't have the volunteers or servants in place. That has not been the case. So just wanted to, you know, to say that the Lord is always so faithful in providing, you know, servants to these ministries, and not just a children's ministry, but just so many ministries that are needed to be able to run the church. So I'm just, again, so grateful for all of you. And really, it's something that comes from the pulpit, right? The heart of service, understanding that your role in the church, right? Our love for one another, that would naturally lead to us wanting to serve one another. And so that's all biblical, and I see it in my ministry and the ministry that I lead every day. So again, thank you all.
So, as we touched on earlier, like we said, we miss the intimacy of the church. Just getting to know each other very well and see each other very often. And when we had Bible study, we just were all together. We didn't have separate groups. We were all together and under one house. So we miss that intimacy, but we're very thankful that we're growing. Very thankful because we know what it's like to try to find a good church, and we're able to, you know, to be able to be here, to be able to minister to other families who are looking for a church. So we're very thankful that the Lord has provided us this building. Seems like every time we get a bigger building, we just keep filling them up, because the Lord just keeps bringing people here. And as Yvette and Jose said, the Lord's been faithful to provide for us, no matter where we've been. You know, we've always been provided for. Very encouraged to be able to bring on Pastor Philip and his family. That was a huge blessing, I know, to Pastor Matt and to the church, to be able to help out in those times of just being over, you know, being so busy as he's growing and trying to shepherd the flock by himself. Be able to bring on Pastor Philip and his family. That was a great blessing to us and continues to be. Very thankful, as Yvette said, for all the people who have stepped up to serve. So as we get bigger, there's more service needs. And as those service needs have increased, more volunteers have stepped up. And so I know, as heading up the usher team, I'm very thankful for the people that have stepped up and been able to help out, and all, along with the other various ministries as well. So thank you for all you guys do. We really appreciate that. Thank you.
And also just, it's just such a blessing too, just to see, you know, the friendships that have been built within the body. I have friends that are younger than me. I have friends that are older than me, and I consider them my dear friends, you know. I just love them, and it's just been a blessing. And, you know, there's a lot of also women's group and that go on throughout the week, and just a lot of women that open up their homes. And it's just a fellowship within the body. It's just so beautiful. I think of just the heart of so many people that just want to be involved within the body. A lot of people don't know the things that go on throughout the week. And, you know, we have a cleaning crew that comes in and cleans the church. And we have different women who have, I think there's like three different studies that go on throughout the week. A lot of women want to start something up on Saturdays and different things that go on, the women's ministries. And it's just so sweet because not only is our church growing, sometimes you think, oh, that's a new face. And then you go up and no, they've been there for a while. And you're like, oh, no, I guess maybe I need to sit somewhere else this week or next week so I can meet somebody that sits in a different spot. But it's just really sweet to see that. And then just in the last month or 2 months, the overflow of new people from all over the world that were even trying to get, you know, subtitles going on so that it could be more helpful, which is just such a, like, Lord, what are you doing? Like, it's just in this little town in Orlando, well, whatever, it's not little, but it's just amazing to see. And then just the one thing that we lacked when we were in different churches is the love for other churches that other pastors that Pastor Matt knows and are, you know, is just our brothers in Christ who've come and preached at the church as well. And then when they walk in, when they've come to preach in the beginning and now they've come now, they're like, wow, okay, the Lord's really working. That has been just, wow. I just, I'm so thankful for the Lord and, you know, his faithfulness. And I just pray that we are faithful as well. And one thing that I'm just so thankful for is, and I hope, you know, I continue to pray for this, is there's no division, which is so wonderful. Like, if somebody disagrees with something or is having a hard time with a certain part of scripture or a certain part of their belief or where they're walking or their background or where they've come from, because we all come from different backgrounds. Just the open door of so many people's homes and hearts that are willing to sit down and talk and just go get lunch or just anything to answer questions for people that just want to know, like, is this real or is there something behind, or am I thinking, you know, through the scripture correctly or not? And there's just so many people that are willing. And I think that's the blessing that happened in the beginning. Like, we weren't growing in numbers, but we were definitely growing in faith. And so that has helped us preserve the beautiness of Redeemer and the love for one another. So,
wow, that's excellent. That sounds like a great way to end our time, especially because of the time as well, but and the content. So can we give them a hand and just thank them for that? Yeah. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and then, like I said, the slideshow will just run through. It's not something where you have to sit and be quiet. In fact, that'd probably be awkward. There's no like music with it, so don't do that, actually. You know, you can get around and mill about like you normally do between 10 and 10:30. It'll be on every TV in the building, so you can kind of do your normal fellowship, and then we'll loop it after the service as well. So if you say, "Oh, I missed half of it," that's okay. You'll have time. We'll loop it, and then we can probably make it available too. So don't think you have to sit here and you know, not use the restroom, not do your normal thing. You know, don't do that. Feel free, and it's on a loop, and so you'll be able to see some things, and then after service as well. So let me just thank the Lord for our time. Father, we thank you. Just what a wonderful time just to think back to your goodness and faithfulness and just these perspectives that you put into these sweet saints here, and just the way that you've joined the church together and brought people and continue to do so, even from the very beginning, things that are inexplicable from a human perspective. And so we trust you, and we see your hand at work, and may that propel us on, as has been said, to even greater and greater faithfulness and just holding the line. And may we be just a place that people can come and grow, and even as was testified to, that they can just be a part of something. Of course, we're all sinners, and we're not going to rid sin and the sinful nature out of the body, but Lord, we can be seeking you and seeking to grow in Christ's likeness as we turn from our sin. So may we continue to do that, and may we be encouraged just to press on even more. So we thank you so much for this time this morning, and just pray our hearts will be just ready to give you thanks and praise in the time of worship that we'll have. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.